Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Hawkins Hellfire Collective. I'm Devin Grubb.
And I'm Zach Grubb.
And today we will be discussing Season 3, Episode 2, Mallrats.
I got ahead of myself. I was ready to talk about Episode 3.
But we didn't talk about this one yet.
I know.
And there's things to discuss!
There is. This is where we start getting a lot more overt with the idea that they had a plan overall. I know we talked about season one. We don't think they did. Season two, we think they were in the beginnings of it. You found some stuff. You specifically found some stuff.
Yes, I did. In this episode. I did. And we even fact checked.
Yeah, we did. We did.
We're not going to reveal it right now.
Not right away.
Listen to the whole episode.
But yeah, that's how we're going to hook them. They're not just going to fast forward to like the last 10 minutes or anything. I think this one was big. So let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
One more time.
What happens here?
No, I was doing a Spider-Verse thing.
Oh, sorry.
Let's start at the beginning. One more time.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, this one starts off right at the end of where the last one ended.
Yes.
If that made any sense.
Yeah, people are picking up what you're putting. You got this. Billy did not get got.
He did not get got.
I mean, he got, but he's alive.
But he didn't get got. Damn it. Anyway, it starts out with him just getting, like, spit out of the bunker thing, which we later find out it's not a bunker / sewer or whatever. It's a lumber yard.
I think we said that in the last one, didn't we?
I don't remember if
because I compared it to Twin Peaks.
Yes. Okay, there you go. But we can confirm it is a lumber yard. It wasn't just a thinking, I think it's a lumber yard. It is. But when he gets out, he's in the Upside Down.
So he's in the real world at first until he gets to a payphone.
Right. And then it switches to the Upside Down and we hear some grandfather clock chimes as this army of shadowy figures walks towards him.
And it's not like the ones we discovered in season two where it's like, oh, that sounds like the exact sound, but like, you know, if you slowed it down. No, this is the exact sound bite.
This is the sound. This is that bong, 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 bong. Like that is, yeah. It is exactly what you hear when Vecna is coming and
Shadow Billy walks up.
Shadow Billy walks up and, you know, talks to him or whatever. But it's like, I was wondering when this scene was happening, and I think I talked to you about it. Like, it was kind of like, and I have, like, he's having a Vecna vision.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, we don't know because we don't see what he looks like, you know, in the real space. But, like, maybe he does have his, like, eyes glazed over and he's, like, in a Vecna trance because he's talking to Vecna. He just looks like him.
Maybe. I think at this point, his body's already been invaded. It's not just his mind, like in season four.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's totally possible. But it might be more like what happened with Will.
Okay. I'm just...
We literally can't say. We don't know.
We're not seeing it, so...
We don't get to see it, so there's no way for us to know. But it would make sense.
Yeah.
Also, I thought it was funny, like, ooh, Shadow Billy. Wait, hold up. You're going to tell me there's a more evil version of Billy? I don't think that's true. I don't think there can be.
Also, I want to put it out there before we start bashing Billy some more. We'll probably talk about it later in the episode, but this is also where we started to see why he appeals to people in the way that he does. Because there are some moments in this episode where he is clearly conflicted about what's going on with him.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. But like at the same token, it's like, okay, he chose not to do something awful. Points for Billy.
I'm just saying it looked like he was going to get some kind of redemption arc or whatever. But whatever.
And he does, but like, you know, like I still think it's too little, too late.
I know you do too. I stand by my full I don't like Billy.
You're being a little more understanding,
but
than
I'm
I
being
am.
Understanding of the people who do like him, and I, you know, and their reasoning for it. So, I was just putting that out there.
Yeah.
So fair. After this little bit, Eleven calls Mike because Mike didn't come over for the first time in like 8 months. And he's not allowed to see her because of Hopper. And Hopper's super pleased with himself about this decision. And that's just not cool.
He takes way too much joy in his daughter being upset.
Yeah.
And, like, he rides that high to ask Joyce on a date. Like, characterization of Hopper this season is really bad.
I don't... It's not Hopper. It's not.
Yeah. And you know what? For the next episode, we're going to have Matt on with us.
Maybe.
We all talked about it, and he and I are going to get into it because he loves Hopper this season, and I do not.
It's not going to matter what episode we have him on. He's just going to be all about Hopper this season, and we're not.
I don't think you're going to get to speak in the next episode, hon, because we're going to end up arguing with each other.
If he sits in with us on for episode 3, I didn't have much notes, so it doesn't really matter. So I can just sit back and laugh.
That's fine.
Yeah, so his plan worked, and he goes to Joyce and is like, oh, yeah, the plan worked. It was great.
Your plan worked. But it was like,
no, you're lying to her because you didn't do what she said. You went off the rails. You did your own thing. And now you're going to use it to try to ask her out on a date. And it's not.
He's like, oh, I had to improvise a little bit. Improvise? You threw the plan out the window, dude.
You completely went off script there, bud.
Yeah. Just ridiculous. So I believe this is the point where we find our first weak link in the season, and it's Nancy's story.
Oh, but I put magnets, not magneting, because right before Hopper leaves, he trips over some magnets that have fallen off a display
This is the beginning of my magnets.
This is the beginning of Joyce's question through the season. What's going on with my magnets? And they're not sticking. So that's a weird thing because the ones in her house didn't stick either. So that's just a brief
overview of Joyce's various arcs. Season 1, where is my son? Season 2, what's wrong with my son? Season 3, what's wrong with my magnets? Season 4, where's my Hopper? Joyce, you need an internal story.
Maybe that's what she'll get for season 5.
Yeah, let's focus on Joyce.
That's what she'll get. I mean, she's got her kids, she's got her Hopper.
She's got her magnets.
She's got her magnets. The world's probably ending, but I mean, I guess she can do some inward reflection there.
So like the character least in need of it.
Yeah. All right, so you can go, because I haven't written any notes about Nancy.
I really don't have too much to say about it, just that Nancy's story is clearly only there because we need a way to kind of, like, tie things together for the entire town of Hawkins.
And it doesn't get tied together until, like, the end.
Exactly. Like, Nancy this season, I take some issue with because she's constantly not listening to the people around her who are trying to help her. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, don't listen to the people who are like, oh, you're a girl, you can't be a journalist. Screw those guys. But, like, Jonathan is constantly like, hey, maybe this isn't the best way to go about this. Let's brainstorm. She's like, no, I'm going to do it my way.
Yeah.
And just heads out the door. And like, yes, strong protagonist. But at the same time, I feel like the intelligent Nancy that we've seen in season 1 and 2.
Isn't there.
No, she's not. She's not being careful. She's not taking the time to like plan through things. It's very impulsive.
Yeah. Yeah. She's acting on impulse instead of, you know, logic.
Yeah. And I think that gets dialed down in season 4.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit in the beginning, not so much when she's like, we're going to go to the trailer park and we're going to find this out for ourselves. But
like, even that was planned better. You know what I mean? It was more like, look, this is, it's not like I'm going to track down all these leads. It's like, hey, something's going on at the trailer park. I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah, I guess. And then from there, the reunion of the century.
Dustin and Steve.
And I just put their friendship is so pure.
it's really nice. Dustin turned Steve into a nerd.
Oh my god, like he's so excited and he's like, yeah, he's back. You got the job. I got the job.
Henderson. It's so good.
They're just so excited to see each other, and the joy on Steve's face, because he's just like, my best friend has been gone for a month and I haven't seen him, and I'm in this shitty job with this girl who's constantly ribbing me, and like, none of the girls that I'm asking out are wanting to date me. Like,
the hair
I'm having,
isn't working
I'm
anymore.
I'm having a hard time. And here comes my best bro. Like, he just seems so happy.
Yeah, he's really psyched. And Dustin's all about, like, I want to tell Steve about this
he
Russian signal.
Tells
like,
Steve,
I got to tell
tells
him about
Steve
it.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Like, he's talking to him. He talks to him about Susie, you know, about all this other. And then he's like, and I've intercepted a Russian signal. And Steve's like, what? He's like, I've intercepted a Russian signal. It's just true.
It's fun this season. Like, Will mentions it in the next episode. And he's like, where's Dustin? You don't even care. It's like, Dustin is hanging out with his brother. Like,
right. Dustin is still very much wanting to be a part of the party, I feel like.
But, like, he can't. It's so he and Will, in a way, are going through the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, they can't be on the same level as Mike and Lucas right now, because Mike and Lucas are both dealing with the fact that they're in, you know, teenage relationships. Dustin has that too, but his girlfriend is, you know, very far away.
Right,
he doesn't get to talk to her. He doesn't get to see her.
Exactly.
Nobody believes she exists.
Except for Steve.
Steve starts doubting.
Skeptical.
He's skeptical. But like, and like, they're dealing with it in different ways. Will doesn't have anybody to fall back on, really, because Jonathan's busy doing his own thing.
Yeah.
So Will is having a rough go of it. Dustin sees what's going on, and he says, you know what? Look, eventually I'll probably hang out with my friends again just to, like, you know, deal with all this. But right now I have information. I'm going to go talk to my big brother.
My big brother.
And
right.
we're going to like track this down together. Nobody else stuck around. Nobody else showed any interest. So yeah, let them do their thing. I'm going to go do my thing.
Right. Like, they all had their like, welcome home, Dustin. But that was it.
Yeah.
And they all kind of went their separate ways about it. Like, and so yeah, he's going to go with the person who cares that he's there.
Exactly. And it's a bummer that Will doesn't have anybody like that, really.
Yeah.
Though I feel like Dustin is so inclusive. If Will wanted to hang out with him and Steve.
Right, if Will wanted to hang out with Dustin and Steve, Dustin would be all about it. And honestly, Steve's such a good dude. I feel like he would be okay with it, too.
Yeah, little you buyers. Know? He'd
exactly.
be all about it.
He would be all about taking Will under his wing and like, and
like, he and Jonathan are cool at this time. He'd
yeah,
be all about hanging out with
exactly.
Will.
Exactly. So after that, we get some Max and Eleven bonding time.
They're a lot of fun together.
You know, they're shopping and stuff, and it's really cute.
Give him the medicine. Give him a taste of his own medicine. Yeah,
yeah,
give him the medicine. Let's ignore Will. That's the guys while
yeah,
they're at the mall.
Lucas and Mike are also at the mall while Max and Eleven are at the mall, and Will's like tagging along, and you know, he's just trying to play D&D, and they are just like, nope. They leave him in the basement before they go to the mall, by the way. Like, that was the first thing I wrote down. Like,
I mean,
they decide to go to the mall, and they run up the stairs, and he's just like, I'm still here.
They just expected him to hop on and come along. They just, you know, they're like, hey, dude, we've got stuff going on. Follow us.
I don't know.
To a certain extent, I get it. Like, I do, but it's... they're not being very good friends to Will, and it catches up with them, and, like, thankfully they recognize it, you know?
Yeah, but it's like you said, too little, too late.
Yeah.
That's the phrase this season, I feel like.
It really is.
A lot of things that happen or things that characters do are too little, too late in perspective of things that they've already done.
Yeah.
That makes
So, Billy has an episode when he goes to work.
Yeah.
He like goes into the like locker room, and Mrs. Wheeler follows him in there to apologize to him for not, you know, showing up
to cheat
on her husband. And as she's explaining, you know, like, it's really not you, I'm sorry. he turns around and cracks her head against the wall. But, oh, no, he didn't.
Yeah, he thought about it had a vision of it.
He had, like, a vision of it, like, you know, Vecna's influence.
A Vecna vision.
And this is the moment where I think a lot of people would turn around on Billy. Mm-hmm. He tells her to get away from him. Just like he sees that in his head, realizes it wasn't real,
yeah,
and turns around and tells her, like, get away from me, never come near me again. And it's like, clearly he did that because he is afraid of what he will do to her.
Right. Because he knows that something's not right.
Right. And yes, he is a sleazebag, but he actually did seem legitimately excited to, like get with Mr. and Mrs. Wheeler.
Out, yeah.
So, like, he clearly, for the first time ever on the show, puts somebody else's well-being before his own.
Yeah.
And I guess that's enough for some people to be like, you see, he's not that bad a guy. He absolutely is. The fact that he decides, hey, I don't want to murder somebody, does not give him points in my eyes. But I get it.
We just all forgot that he was racist and attacked a 13-year-old the previous season. But I guess that's okay.
I don't know.
Anywho.
Okay, yeah. We won't get into that.
He's super bothered by the sun. Like, it actually, yep, like burns him. He's got, like, a
burn
his
on his
skin
shoulder.
Is fried on his, like, on his arm.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what that means.
Right. All in that whole thing, he's clearly trying to fight against whatever is controlling him.
He's sweating, his vision's blurring. Yeah. Like, he's not winning.
No.
And then from there we go back to the buddies. And Robin establishes herself as a turbo nerd that we know from here on out.
Yes. They try to translate the Russian interception.
And they're like, they're going through letters, and Steve's like, wait, play that part back. And Dustin's like, oh, you got something? He's like, yeah, I recognize that song. And Dustin's like, what are you doing listening to songs? Like, that's not what we're doing here.
But then Robin's just like, you know, I speak four languages. I'll translate this for you. I'm bored.
Yeah. Like, hey, I speak four languages and I'm in band. Like, right. I have an ear.
I can do this. Things.
And Dustin's like, yeah, okay, cool. And Steve's like, what? I have to go work? Are you kidding me?
Okay, so
We're back to Nancy.
But things are a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
Sorta.
Okay.
So she's dealing with the rats.
Yeah. So old lady caught a rat. The rat was eating fertilizer. The rat is quote unquote rabid.
Yeah.
I think we see more of that later, but that's really all this scene boils down to.
Yeah.
You know, for us, the viewers who've been getting more context, we know that this rat is tied to whatever's going on with Vecna.
We know Vecna, but yeah, if you're not doing what we're doing,
the mind flayer,
you know, it's tied to the mind flayer or whatever's controlling Billy.
I feel like at this point we're really confident that this is Vecna.
Yeah.
Yes, obviously it's the mind flayer, but the mind flayer is not technically in control of itself. So
no.
From here on out, I'm going to refer to the villain as Vecna.
I think we should. I think we are confident enough to do that at this point.
Yeah, definitely. So that's a pretty quick scene. And then we're back to Hopper, yes?
Yeah. We're at the mayor. With the mayor.
Yeah.
Because there's like a protest outside of City Hall because everybody's pissed off about
the mall
and the stores closing. And the mayor is Wesley! As you wish. Except he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah,
he's not Wesley. He's a jerk.
And I feel like this is like the one scene this season so far that they actually nailed Hopper, that he is himself.
Yeah.
Because he shows up and he's like, I'm not going to break up this protest. That's their right as Americans. You want me to cause a riot? And the mayor is like, well, you know, that would be their right if they filled out the proper paperwork. Did anybody fill out the paperwork? And Hop's like, Jesus, you're really going to make me do this? Like, you're really going to make me go deal with, like, tell these people not to...
That they can't exercise their right as citizens to protest you.
And Hopper is clearly not on board with this. But he if I don't do this, I'm going to lose my job.
Mm-hmm.
So he's forced to do it, but he really does not want to. Technically, he has to because they don't have a permit. And I think we're back at the mall.
Back at the mall.
And at this point, I just, you know, it's a mall. It's the 80s. And the only thing running through my head is everybody come and play. Just.
Except that was the 90s.
In Canada. In Canada. So the American 80s.
Was the Canadian 90s.
This is all How I Met Your Mother. I apologize to any Canadians listening to this show, since we know that there at least one Canadian listens to our show.
Yeah, shout out to Ham Radio Media.
We know that the 90s were the 90s in Canada. We know it wasn't the 80s.
But anywho, Elle's never been shopping before, and it's really cute. Max tries to, like, help her find her style. And they just have a good time.
They do. Elle uses her powers for fun again. I like that we get to see plenty of that this season.
Yeah.
She just gets to cut loose and be a kid.
And then...
Joyce is studying electromagnetics textbooks. Yeah,
she goes to Mr. Clark. We get Mr. Clark this season.
And he's sitting in his... puttering away, listening to Weird Al.
Weird Al. Because he's brave, too.
My Bologna. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And so, then, so we were wrong. Mr. Clark does actually play a point after season 2.
He does come back after season 2. Our bad. I think that's it, though. I think we only get him for, that episode.
Hey,
I don't know if he comes back again. But we're only 3 episodes in.
True.
So we could be wrong.
And if we're only wrong about one thing in this entire podcast, I'm perfectly fine with it being that Mr. Clark was not in season 3. That's fine.
So then it goes back to the rats?
Yeah.
And the old lady? Yep. Okay. And this rat is all messed up. And the lights start flickering. And the rat explodes.
And let's take a second to remember season 4, where they were able to determine where Vecna was in the house by where the lights were flickering.
Yep.
So, even though we never really see it this season, let's take a second to understand that that may mean Vecna was literally standing in that house doing his little pointy thingy
at that rat.
And then it pops.
And then it explodes. But it doesn't die.
No, it does not.
It crawls away. Bubbled up inside out rat.
Yep.
It's real gross.
Flickering lights does not always mean Vecna is standing there. I understand that. No. It could mean anything involving powers, but it does seem to be tied to powers.
Yeah.
And if our theory from season 1 and the flickering lights only showing up when the Demogorgon showed up makes sense, then I guess we said that Vecna is controlling the Demogorgon because he's controlling the Mind Flayer and everything's connected.
I was going to say, he's pretty much controlling everything.
Right. He's at the center of the Hive Mind. So if something he is controlling causes any kind of reaction in the real world, that would cause the lights to flicker.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, maybe he's not standing right there, but he could be.
He could be. It's very possible. And then we're back to Billy.
Yeah, he's told, I want you to build what you see.
What you see. And he shows him...
He shows him the Mind Flayer.
So build the Mind Flayer.
Yeah.
Build it.
Out of people who eat fertilizer.
Build it out of people. Make my army.
Yep. Oh, and I wrote down he has visions of people talking to him -Vecna. So what we were saying was that these the people talking to him are Vecna.
Yeah. So he's in the shower and at the pool, and he's freaking out, and the lifeguard that comes to talk to him when he doesn't initially see what she's actually saying to him, he is seeing her say something else because of the influence that Vecna has over him.
Yeah.
And then when he snaps out of it, she's like, oh my God, are you okay?
And then he cracks her in the head.
And then he cracks her in the head.
Yep.
Because he's got to build. He's got to build the army.
Yep.
He's got to do his thing. Glamour shots. We're back at the mall.
We are. I think this is where my notes stop, so it's all you, hon.
Oh, God. Okay. So, back at the mall with some glamour shots. I put Steve looking out. Don't know what that means.
Oh. No, they didn't stop. I just skipped a page.
Oh. Okay. And then the boys, Lucas and Mike, run into Eleven and Max. And this is where Eleven goes, I dump your ass.
Yeah, I dump your ass.
And then...
I don't think she totally understands the implications of that when she says it.
No, she doesn't. But she feels good about it. And her and Max get on the bus eating their ice cream cones. And they're like, yeah,
They're happy.
They're happy. And Will asks, now can we play D&D? And this is the only instance of Will where I'm like, dude, you're being a little annoying.
Yeah, like they clearly have higher concerns right now.
Right, like, you know, I get it. I get you want to play your game, but Mike just got broken up with.
Your best friend just got dumped. Right. Maybe don't be like, a smartass right now.
you could have offered my condolences, you know, give him a little bit of something, and then...
Hey, it'll be okay.
Wait till you get home.
Let's go play D&D.
Right. Wait till you get home before you ask if you can play D&D.
Yeah.
Again.
Then we get more goofy Hopper.
Yeah, because Hopper goes to Enzo's, right? That's the restaurant. Well,
it's the shirt. He gets the shirt.
Magnum P.I. Hop is how you, that's what yeah. you called him.
It's cutting edge. The shirt is cutting edge. This isn't Hopper. This is Magnum P.I.
Yeah.
Although, a shout out to Matt, who got me an action figure of that Hopper for Christmas. And I hate it and I love it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's behind you. It came with a Ninja Turtle. It was that weird Ninja Turtle 2-pack. Oh, he got you
the 2-pack. Okay.
Yeah, it came with Raphael and Hopper.
Okay. I forgot about that.
Because there's apparently a toy crossover where the Ninja Turtles come to Hawkins.
Right.
Hey, I'm into it. Write that comic. I'll read it.
They might need them.
They're gonna
need them. They need turtle power. But anyway, Joyce stands him up because she's in science class.
Yes.
And she's learning about magnets. But she knows there's a deeper meaning behind what's going on with the magnets than what Mr. Clark basically told her.
Well, I mean, you know, she asks him, theoretically, how could all of these magnets lose their charge so far away from each other? And he tells her, well, theoretically, a large machine could disrupt magnetic fields.
Right.
So, obviously, the first place her mind goes is
the lab.
The lab, yeah.
But we know it's not.
It's not.
It's not the lab.
It is not the lab.
It's not the lab. And then Robin, we're back to Robin and our dynamic duo. She has cracked the code. Well, not cracked the code, but she's translated.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, Robin and Dustin are the dynamic duo because they're working together on the code. Right, they're working together.
But Robin translated it, and it's, the week is long, the silver cat feeds when blue meets yellow in the west. We don't know what it means just yet, but we'll find out. But when the mall has closed at this point. They've, like, been there so long. And Steve gets an idea to put on one of the, like, the little, like, quarter rides.
Yeah, the little quarter horse ride.
And he discovers that the song that he was hearing in the background of the message was that little tune that plays on the ride. So, yes, Dustin and Robin figure out the message, but Steve figures out that it's coming from inside the house.
Yep. Steve is the one who realizes, hey, this is coming from Hawkins, not just Hawkins, it's coming from inside the mall.
And then that's basically their arc for this episode. That's where they end.
Yeah. And their arc through the season gets wild, if I remember it. They're some of the most fun.
Yeah, it is fun because Erica gets involved. And it's always a good time when Erica gets involved.
It's true.
She's so sassy.
So, But this is where we're about to wrap up the episode because we go back to Billy.
I know. Wow, this is a quick one.
Yeah. I don't know if it's quick or if we've just been like point.
I think I have been going so quickly because I wanted to get to this point because I was so excited when it happened.
So let's do the synopsis first, and then we're gonna call back to like the specifics that you have written out because this is awesome. So Billy is officially no longer in control.
Yes.
He takes Heather.
Heather, yeah.
To the mill.
The lifeguard.
Yeah, he takes her. He takes her there, and we get to see.
She's like hogtied and everything. Yeah, too. Like it's.
We get to see the Mind Flayer made of rats.
Mm-hmm. Is that?
Yeah, for like a split second.
Okay, I didn't write that down.
We get to see the Mind Flayer made of rat guts. It's like the last shot of the episode before I think it cuts to the outside.
Okay.
Super cool visual. Very disgusting.
It's gross.
Very scary. And that's where the episode ends. But Billy says something to Heather.
Yeah. So before he does whatever it is he's going to do to Heather, he says, "Don't be afraid. This will all be over soon. Stay very still." And as soon as he said that, I was like, Vecna says this. In season 4, to Max, I believe. I wasn't sure if he says it to Max or to Eleven, but you knew the exact episode. It's in the piggyback.
Yep.
It's after he's got Eleven and Max both tied up in the vines, and right before he's about to, like, do his thing to Max, he goes over to her, and he says, he doesn't say it in that order.
Well, he says, this will all be over soon.
Don't be afraid. Stay very still. Right before he does his thing. And that right there was like the tip off. Like, this is Vecna. This is where it's going. I lost my mind. I was so excited.
Yep. And like, yeah, those two lines are flipped, but the wording is exactly the same.
It's exactly the same, and it's the same kind of, it's the same context.
Same context.
Like, I'm about to do something to you that's going to be awful and terrifying, and you're never going to be the same, but don't be afraid. Like, it's, you know, it's,
So, I know what some people are going to say. It's very easy to say, like, oh, well, they used that line in season 4 because it was used in season 3. It was a way to tie it all together. To which I say, duh.
But yeah.
At the same time, to me, that is very intentional. Like, obviously, they went back and reused the lines because that ties everything together. But yeah. I think that was the point.
But it was
that was the point all along.
And that's been, like, they've said that that's what they're trying to do. You know, that, like, they've known what they wanted to do. Everything, you know, comes back around and everything does tie together. So, yes, they would use the same line to tie things together. Because the whole point is that Vecna has been the big bad from the beginning. And this is your proof. This is your proof. And like you said before, typically in shows, the season before the big bad is revealed, you get hints about it. Mm-hmm. Well, these are your hints.
These are the hints. It's nothing you could decipher without the context of the newest season, but it's all things that work in retrospect.
Mm-hmm.
And this to me is like a big indicator that when they were writing season 3, they did so specifically with the intention of leaving lines like this that they could reuse for Vecna in season 4.
Yeah.
Obviously, they didn't, like, write out season 4 first and say, hey, we're gonna make sure that they both use this line here.
No.
But they did things like this so that they could easily tie it to their overarching idea. Now, again, season 1, I don't think they were doing that. Season 2, I think the ideas were starting to formulate.
Yeah, they were laying some, like, breadcrumbs.
Right, they were laying some groundwork.
Yes.
But in season 3, I believe they fully understood what they were gonna do. And they did things like this on purpose while writing season 3 so that they could reuse and allude to very specific lines and points in season 4.
Right. And I just want to say something. Now, it happened in episode 3, but Will always refers to this, the entity or whatever, as he.
Yep.
And that, to me, I feel like Will knows that it's not necessarily what they think is in control is not in control. Like, I think Will might be tipped off to a higher power before anybody else is.
And he may not even realize that, but like in his head, he's gendered this thing.
Right.
Because something inside of him knows that, like, a guy was in control of him. Like this, not just a monster.
Exactly. Not just this thing. Like, no, this was a male being.
Right. He doesn't say it's here or it's back. He says he.
He. So that's another little thing that I just...
I think that's smart. Yeah. I think that's a really good point, actually.
You know.
So that's episode 2 of season 3.
Yeah, that was quick.
Episode 2.
Yeah. Like that big of a
2 bombshells.
Like like I didn't think this season was going to be as exciting because when we watched it the first time, it wasn't. But now watching it, you know, with the context of season 4 and doing what we're doing, this is a big season.
Yeah, it's really improving the experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not a convert on season 3 being better than seasons 1 or 2.
But, oh, I'm not either.
Hey, let's see if that changes down the line, because I'm pretty impressed with episode 2.
Yeah, it was a good episode. It was a really good episode.
It fits very neatly into Stranger Things as a whole.
Yeah.
And you know what we can't say that about?
The Lost Sister.
The Lost Sister. I promise we'll stop talking about it.
No, we won't.
Anyway, I think we can let this sit with everybody who listened.
Yeah,
and we'll end it here. We won't go into any more detail. I think we've said what we needed to say for season 3 episode 2.
Yes, but I have something I want to share.
You do. Go for it.
So, the Hawkins Hellfire Collective will be at Fan Expo Philadelphia on Sunday day.
On Sunday day?
On Sunday day. We're not doing anything, but we're meeting Joseph Quinn, and I'm so excited. Devin's going to meet Eddie.
Yes, she is. Give him the day. Maybe someone out there who listens to us will want to say hi.
It's June 4th is the day that we're going to be there.
Yeah, and we'll be in full Stranger Things costume, too.
Yes, and we'll have our daughter.
And she will also be in costume.
And she will also be in costume because she's got a Hellfire shirt as well. Should we tell them what we're going to do?
Yeah, go for it.
We're going to be Dustin and his two dads.
So Devin is going to be Eddie. I'm going to be Steve. And our daughter is going to be Dustin.
Yep. I'm so excited.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So
I have so much Eddie merch.
If you hadn't heard about this yet, try to get your little sign up to get a picture with Eddie.
He just got announced today. I don't know what
today is January 18th.
Yeah, today's January 18th. I'm not sure what the tickets look like now. I mean, the tickets for the expo are still available, obviously.
Yeah, totally.
Couldn't say if his are.
they always try to fit more in before the date.
Because I remember when we did Tom Hiddleston, like his tickets were done like just him by himself, but he did dual photo shoots with Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, and that's what we were able to get.
So, you know, if you go on and see that like you can't get pictures with him by himself, it doesn't mean that
There won't be another opportunity
yeah. because, one, he might add a day. He added a day to the most recent Fan Expo mm-hmm. he was at, so he could maybe add Friday to the Philly one. Or there's only been 2 guests announced so far. There could be other Stranger Things actors added to the roster of celebrities, because that happens too, and they might do like a dual photo op or something like that. So
yeah, something with him and Erica would be fun.
So the Fan Expo that he did in New Orleans was the most recent one, and that was him, Chrissy, and the kid that played Little Henry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they did a panel together, and they also did like a group a group photo, and then I think he also did a photo, like photo ops with just Chrissy.
Gotcha.
So that could be a thing, but he's so
there's
like,
lots of opportunities.
There are lots of opportunities. I just needed to share that because if you've been listening to us from the beginning, you know how much of an Eddie fangirl I am. So I just needed to share that piece of information. As soon as it was announced, I hopped on the website and was like, I bought the tickets.
She's also getting her Eddie action figure signed. Yes, and I bringing am. Her Eddie doll.
Yes, because I have a crocheted Eddie doll.
Yeah.
That I bought from a really cool small business who does like crocheted stuff.
Drop the name.
Pig Loves Mouse.
Yeah. It's actually really cool. It's really high quality.
It's super detailed. That's not a gift. I'm not giving that to him. That's mine. Hers. I'm just gonna show it off and be like, look what I got. And he's gonna be like, oh, is that for me? And I'm like, no, it's mine.
I'm gonna have to do some noise equalization on this episode.
Sorry. But anyway, I'm very excited and I wanted to share my excitement with you all.
We digress.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Hawkins Hellfire Collective.
I'm Devin Grubb.
And I'm Zach Grubb.
Dusty Buns gets it done.